Sometimes Brian and I coordinate songs together, as sometimes some of the other song leaders and I coordinate together. Sometimes it is just a providential thing that some of the songs have a direct connection or a very appropriate one for the lesson. But I was actually going to start out today talking and using the word pierce. And I noticed in the previous song and the song before that, both of those songs have the word pierce in them. And I think that may be coincidental, but maybe not. I have to check with Ron about that. Maybe our ESV was on the same wavelength there. But as you think about pierce, it will have a direct connection to our text, Exodus 21, if you want to turn there. But maybe you like to read the comics. It's harder and harder to find paper comics, but they're all online. But maybe you like the comic that's called This, with a young man named Jeremy that is absolutely the complete frustration of his mother, particularly. Perhaps one of my favorite little This cartoons is Jeremy. Big sign on the dishwasher and big shiny marker says, "Jeremy, unload this." And his mother is looking at him with this little black and white cartoon that looks at the field. And he's saying, "Oh, does that make sense?" If you've ever had, a parent, maybe you can identify with that. But Jeremy has a plan named in Exodus 21, which goes back many, many centuries, talks about a piercing. It's not about earrings or anything like that, but it talks about a piercing, the piercing of an ear. Exodus 21, beginning at verse 1. "Now, these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant If the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. Then the master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This is a very interesting text, and each time I read it, it sets my wheels turning in my mind about applications and meanings here. And as I have thought about this the last week and studied and discussed it with others, I want us to take a lesson from this text that ultimately we're going to draw some applications here, that there is really a greater master, greater application of a master, there's a greater application of a servant, there's a greater application of a family, there's a greater application here of a piercing as we study this text and draw some lessons from it. For our purpose this morning, I want us especially to focus on three statements that are made by the servant in verse 5. This evening, we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at some passages and some conclusions to make regarding what the Old Testament and New Testament Christianity has to say in relationship to slavery. We'll not discuss so much about slavery or principles connected with it this morning, but suffice it to say, this is not a situation here where a slave is contracted or bought from a foreign power, but notice the text says in verse 2, if you buy a Hebrew servant. So this is a Hebrew with a Hebrew, not a foreigner with a Hebrew servant. Most servant situations occurred among Israelites, Hebrews, because of debt. And because under the law of Moses, the land that people owned could not be bought or sold on a long-term permanent basis, if someone got himself in debt to another individual, his fellow Hebrew, his fellow Israelite, he couldn't sell his property to pay that debt because the law did not allow that. And so this practice of indentured servanthood was set forth in the law of God to work off the debt. Even long before the law of Moses, you may remember, there is a man back in the book of Genesis who worked 7 years for each one of his wives, a principle that you see very similar to here. But the idea is that of payment. It's not so much of a slave as it is payment of a debt. And there is a cap on it, maximum of 6 years that would occur, in the seventh year going free. We'll allude to some of these things this evening, but we'll spend our evening assembly lesson discussing a little more about some principles regarding this as we think about slavery and try to make a little bit of a modern application to that as well. But in our text this morning, verse 5 particularly, we want to focus on three statements that the servant makes. Notice he says, number one, I love my master. Number two, I love my wife and my children. And number three, I will not go out free. And from those three statements, or three parts of that one statement in verse 5, I want us to break that into those three parts to draw some applications, because there is a greater application of a greater master, greater servant, a greater piercing, a greater context into which we can fit this, because we're not under the old law that was nailed to the cross, but the principles of truth and the Old Testament applications are still there. Romans 15 verse 4 says, what sort of things are written aforetime, referring to the Old Testament, were written for our learning. So there's obviously something or some things that we can learn from our text this morning. And as you look at this decision about this Hebrew servant who has now paid off his debt, but he chooses to remain, obviously I think there's some great applications that we can make for ourselves today. So let's break it down. Number one, notice this man says, after he has served his time,
He says, I love my master. The text in the New King James is very clear. It says, he plainly says. This is something that's very clear. It's not forced out of him. It's not implied and misconstrued from some other statement that he has made. He has clearly and plainly made this decision of his own volition. This is his decision. And he is plainly saying this. Number one, he says, I love my master. Now, obviously, in the immediate context of that, it's the person that he has been indebted to. It's the person that he is working for to provide for himself because of his debt. He has no way to provide for himself. He paid that debt off to that individual, paid that debt, satisfying that in some other kind of way, perhaps even with a third party. But in this particular situation, he has developed a very close relationship with his master. Obviously, this is not a situation of cruelty. This is not a situation of oppression. This is not a situation that is negative and has all kinds of connotations to it. As we think about slavery in a broader context in the recent history, even of our own nation, but in many places throughout the world, even today, this is a different scenario. This is a different setting. And he says, I love my master. There is a greater application. There is a greater understanding that you and I must have about servants and masters. Because you see, I think as you very well understand, we all are servants. And we all have one master. And we have a relationship with that master that not intended to be oppressive. It's one that's intended to be intermittent of our own volition. Hopefully from all of our hearts and minds and lives, we would say, plainly, clearly, with no ambiguity, I love my master. We must love the master. In fact, if you will keep your place there at Exodus 21, just turn a few pages over in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we are given a instruction here. The Old Testament Jews were given an instruction there that is still very clearly applicable for us today, and one that Jesus quotes in Matthew 22 about loving the master, because there's a greater master. There's a greater application of this text. There's a greater understanding we must walk away with. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. See, that's the kind of love that you and I need to have for our master. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, If you love me, keep my commandments. See, that's a servant-master relationship there. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus has the prerogative, the right, and the authority to give us commandments. That makes him our Lord. That makes him our master. That puts us in the position of being a servant, a follower. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey. Back in Exodus 21, centuries ago, came to the conclusion because of the relationship, I love my master. You and I need to come to that conclusion with our master. You and I need to realize that we are servants, that he gives commands, and you and I have the responsibility to follow them. But he says we only do it because we love him. Number two, the servant plainly says, I love my wife and my children. Now the text, once again, it says that when he indentured himself to this individual, that if he was single, well then he leaves single. If he was married, he leaves with his wife and family. But if in the meantime of the servanthood, he comes in single, and verse 4, the master has given him a wife, and he has children now. Because the master gave him that wife, the master still is the owner, so to speak, of that wife. They still belong there. But the servant is free to go. However, because of this relationship being much deeper than just a business relationship, he loves the master, he loves his family. So secondly, as we analyze this text, notice that he says, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. And I understand that, I think we need to understand here that he's saying, I want to be faithful to my master. I want to be faithful to my Lord because I love my family. And because I love my family, I'm going to be faithful to my master. And he's saying the application that you and I need to make is that we cannot be perfectly considered faithful if we don't love our families. How can we really love our master how can we really say we love our families if we neglect our service to the master? See, this isn't just a business proposition here. This is full of application and meaning for you and me. Because there is a greater master. There is a greater servant. There is a greater understanding of the role of the master in the individual and his family. And when we are negligent to our master, are we really completely loving our family? See, we in order to love, because we love our family, we'll be faithful to the master. If I believe that my children have eternal souls, I'm quite convinced all of us believe that. But if a man believes that his children have eternal souls, then I will do everything. A man will do everything in his power, and I know it's challenging because of all the things that are thrown at a family. All the things that are thrown at parents, all the things that are thrown at children. But because children have eternal souls, parents will do everything in their power to keep them with the master. See, do you pick that up from the text in Exodus 21? The servant is saying, I'm going to stay here. And when he says, I'm going to stay here, what else? I'm going to stay with my master because I love my master, and I'm going to stay with my master. What is he also saying about his family? They're going to stay here too. And I'm going to keep my family here in this situation with this master. And when a man has a family, when a man wants to lead his family not only to the Lord now, but ultimately to heaven, then there should be the strong direction in his heart and mind and in that home to keep his family with the master. He takes the initiative. He takes the lead. But he keeps his family with the master. And he directs them to the master. He is the link, you might say, between his family and the master. I ought to be the link in my family between my family and the Lord. I know it's not totally, wholly, solely that I will answer for my family, but I have a responsibility. Parents have responsibilities. Parents should serve, as you think about the wives, the children, as he makes those mention of those in Exodus 21. Parents should help lead their children to the master. Parents should help keep their children in contact with the master because I love my family. Because I love my family, I'm going to be faithful. Because I love the master, I'm going to be faithful to my family. And I'm going to love my family. And my desire is for my family to be where I am with the Master. So that it's all kind of a package deal. Could anything be more opposite? Could anything be more opposed to being with the Master because I'm with to failing to be with the Master? Could anything be more opposite of the point I'm trying to make here of not being with the Master because I'm trying to be with my family? In other words, what I'm trying to say is, if I make my family the priority and not my Master, then I am neglecting the most important part. I'm neglecting the most important person. The Master is first. Is God first? God should always be first. And unfortunately, there are situations that develop even among Christian families and Christian circles and the Lord's people where service to the Lord is set in second place because, we've got to take care of the family. We've got to do this with the family. The family's got to do this. The family's got to do that. I understand there are obligations that parents have to a family. I understand that there are obligations that sometimes are very pressing, sometimes very huge, sometimes very almost overwhelming. But number one is God. Because am I really leading my family to the Master? Am I really helping bring my family to the Lord? Am I really helping keep my family faithful if I put my family above the Master, above the Lord? God first. I love my Master. Notice that's what he says first. I love my Master. I love my Lord. And I love my family. And it's very hard to separate those from one another, I know. But God first. And family follows. And when you put God truly, completely first, and God is number one, the decision for family to follow, the decision for the priorities in a home, just kind of naturally reminds themselves of God first, and then family. Because the way family becomes what family ought to be is because God is first. Because I have my priorities as they ought to be. So when you look back at this text and you say, you see that the servant says, I love my wife and children. I love my family. Well, that's based on a greater love for one even greater. I think we see the application of that as we look at ourselves today in the New Testament. But now number three, I will not go first. Number one, I love my Master. Number two, I love my family. Number three, I will not go out first. This is an emphatic decision. Remember it says he says this plainly, clearly. There's nothing ambiguous about this. I am going to stay. I will not go out free. There's so many things in this world and so many things in this life that pull at us and tug at us to put God second, to put family somewhere else, to go out from where we really ought to be and do the things that we have no business doing. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's a verse that probably every one of us knows very, very well. Seek ye first. God first, seeking first the kingdom of God. I will not go out first because I am seeking the kingdom. I am seeking to do God's will. I will not give up the important for the temporary. I will not give up the important for the pressing. I will not give up the important for the things that really don't matter. When all is said and done, and my life is finished, and the final page has been written, and the final period has been placed in the book of my life, how have I lived with God? What have been my priorities? What can be said of my faith? What can be said of my faithfulness? What can be said of how I treated my wife and my children and my family? What can be said of how I served my master? Well, this individual in Exodus 21 plainly says, of his own volition and decision, I love my master, I love my family, I will not go out free. I will remain here. The application that you and I think can clearly make from the text is that there are many things to distract us and call us from service to our master and to our family. But you and I must, of our own volition, make a decision. I will not leave. I will not go out. I will not be somewhere I don't belong. I will stay and I will serve Him. Notice the text says, I will not go out free. And as He is brought and this ceremony takes place, in the last phrase of verse 6, He will serve Him forever. There's a greater application. I think by now you understand that. In this ceremony, this event in verse 6, maybe it's what intrigues us more than anything about the whole text. The master will bring him to the judges. They'll also bring him to the door, to the doorpost. Perhaps that was of the house of the master. Perhaps it was of a dwelling place where the judges were. Some have suggested even in later times, maybe it was the temple. But he brings him to this defined place. And then the master shall pierce his ear with an awl, with an ice pick, with a hole punch. And I don't mean a paper hole punch. He shall pierce his ear at that doorpost. And then the servant will serve him from that day forward. I will not go out free. What is the meaning? What is the significance of the ear being pierced? Well, it's just a few thoughts. It's a painful thing, but it's worth it. It's a public affirmation by this man, this servant, and there is no doubt as to where he stands and where he wants to stay. It is a reminder to him, to his master, and to everyone else, he belongs to someone else. Big ranchers brand their cattle for identification. This ear was pierced to identify this servant as belonging to his master. I belong to him. What does this say? Well, perhaps it's all kind of summed up in the statement that he made. I love my master. What does he say? I trust my master. Based on what I've already learned from him, based on how I've already been treated by him, I trust my master. What does it say? My master loves me. This is where I want to be. This is significant. I will not depart from him. I will not leave. And he's making a declaration, not just to his master, but in front of witnesses. At a doorpost, this is who I am, this is who I intend to be, and this is who I'm going to be from this day forward. It is an affirmation. It's plain. It's clear. It's of his own volition. It's of his own decision. There is no ambiguity to it. I'm not turning back. I have come to stay. And I think it's important that we stress he is not staying out of fear. He is staying not out of threat. He is staying not out of desperation. He is staying out of choice. There is no intimidation, desperation, threatening, or fear. I love my master. I trust him. He loves me, and he trusts me. And we are entering into this relationship with one another that from this day forward is permanent. It is of my own volition. And I submit to you, this is not so much about a pierced ear as it is about a pierced heart. What about my heart? What about my family? What about my master? Have I made a clear and plain declaration, affirmed it, that I am here to stay? Because this is where I belong with my master. Our time is almost over this morning. Our text is almost studied out this morning. Oh, there's much more I'm sure we could say. But for the purpose of thinking about our master, our family, our heart. Where do I stand? Where do you stand? I'm not asking you to get your ear pierced today. I'm asking you to get your heart. Does your heart need to be pierced? Do you need to make an affirmation, a declaration, not out of fear, not out of intimidation, but because you love your master and you love your family? The invitation song has been selected. You have it marked in your book. The lesson has been presented. The master is ready and willing and standing at the doorpost. Will you come this morning to stand?